Welcome, everyone, to the Mesa City Council study session. Actually, prior to the beginning of the council study session, I should mention today's date is June the 15th. We will hold an Eastmark Community Facilities District Number 1 board meeting. So welcome to that meeting. I will again note for the record that Councilmember Glover is present on the telephone. The first item on the agenda for this meeting is items from citizens present. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any requests to speak?
No requests, Mayor.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes from the prior meeting. Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Passes unanimously. Item number 3A on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the proposed modification to the Community Facilities District Number 1 secondary property tax rate. I know we have Chief Financial Officer Mike Kennington present and with some staff. Gentlemen, please tell us what we need to know about this item.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the board. Like you said, my name is Mike Kennington, the district treasurer. We have Ryan Wimmer, our deputy budget director, and Jim Smith as well. Also in the crowd, we have representatives from DMB and from Gus Rosenfeld, the CFD council. So today, what we wanted to bring and get direction really from the board is to talk about some of the changes that happened that are going to take effect this year, this tax year. So historically, the developer has paid for infrastructure, and we paid for that through the issuance of bonds through the CFD. Those have been two types of bonds, the special assessment bonds and the GO, the general obligation bonds. Specifically, the general obligation bonds are paid for through the secondary tax rate. So the secondary tax rate historically has been based off of the full cash value, which is the market value. Primary property tax has been based on a limited property value, which has historically been lower than the full cash value. In November 2012, the voters decided to amend the Constitution to, in large part, to simplify this tax system by only having one assessed value instead of the two that we've historically seen. So now both primary property tax and secondary property tax are going to be based on one limited assessed value. So for cities or CFDs that are fixed or expect one fixed rate, now they're going to be against a smaller assessed value. So if they plan and programmed at a higher rate, now that gets it gets lowered to a new value, the limited assessed value. Now, if we can scroll to this table here, you can see the difference in the pre-amendment, the secondary NAV of $25 million, and now the post-amendment of $19.7 million with a new limited net assessed value. The $3 taken against both will result in a different property tax levy between the $760,000 and the $592,000. What's being proposed today and the direction we're seeking from the board is to allow that $3 to adjust every year. And this year it would be $385, the proposal to maintain that levy so that the average homeowner wouldn't see a change in the dollars coming out of their pockets. It would just be an adjustment of the rate. So today we're looking for the direction on that for July 1st. July 1st is where we're going to bring to the board to consider the levy. We're going to also bring to the board to consider the GO bond resolution. Today we're looking at the SAD and the tentative.
Thank you. Mr. Richens.
So we're just changing the elements of the equation, but we're still collecting the same amount of money.
That's exactly right.
So we can service the debt. Okay.
Yep. Tax levy stays the same.
Move to approve this item.
I think before we do that, but the way that this is agendized,
I think that's a different issue.
Oh, maybe you're right. Hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the secondary proposed modifications.
Yeah.
The feasibility, item 4 is a different item, isn't it?
Right. Right now we're on item 3A, hearing the presentation regarding the secondary property tax rate base changes. So, Ms. Spinner, is this an action item?
Let me ask Mike. Mike, are you asking them for approval to adjust the tax rate, but then we're going to have in item 4A, we're having a public hearing on the feasibility report and the issuance. So you are looking for direction.
Just want to make sure you understood
direction.
The change.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't need a formal vote, just direction.
You're comfortable
to go
moving
ahead.
In this direction.
Yeah. And this doesn't affect, again, the special assessment that we have on the agenda. The special assessment is a dollar per lot, and it doesn't get impacted by the rate change.
Okay.
It's the geo
We just want to be clear to the council. So when this CFD was set up, there was a specific form, as you were mentioning, council member, there was a specific formula, if you would, just like we do with our own property taxes in the city. You have a determined assessed valuation. Then you have a stated rate, tax rate, that you use to apply to create the tax levy. We've always talked about the tax levy because that's how we communicate to our residents. What's this going to cost you? What's the tax bill going to look like? And what's happened is because of some changes in state statute, the assessed valuation has changed. And so it's different. The value upon which that rate gets applied has changed, has been changed by state law. So we were trying to get back to a point where we could speak to the CFDs like we do with our own secondary property tax and focus on the amount of tax it's going to generate to meet debt obligations and making sure that's consistent with the amount of levy that was presumed in the previous deal. And so that's what we're trying to do to you. And we've come up with a formula which we believe achieves that pretty close in principle. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And so, my explanation was a lot more clear.
It is. I just want to be very clear for the record about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So right now, that whole issue and that levy will come up at a later point. But in order to put all that in place, we want to make sure the council was fair, was recognized, and would give us the direction to move this way.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Mr. Fenter.
Quick question. I appreciate the clarity. I get it. How about the residents out there? What kind of outreach effort? What are we doing to help them understand?
Great question. We've partnered with DMB to create citizen outreach, and so they've currently developed some communication that they're going to get out to their residents, I believe, next week, and let them know about the July 1st date as well, that we're going to have an open hearing, and let them understand what's going on.
Now, Councilmember, to that point, you all correct me if I'm wrong. I remember in a call, we had, at this time, this change would affect how many different property owners? Do we have that number? It was a pretty small.
It was somewhere in the range of 300. I don't remember exactly. I think okay. DMB was 300 approximately. And just also.
Shaking their head back there.
So. Yeah. And and we'll come back to you July 1st, actually, to. That's the decision point. And then after that, we'll come back with an amendment to the development agreement to also further solidify this direction. But we need direction now to know really whether what to do on July 1st.
The alternative to this council was the consideration of changing the rate. And at some point when you come to council, we really kind of emphasized the idea that the rate would maintain at $3. Again, presumed at a specific, at an assessed valuation that we presume would continue throughout the life of the bonds. But now that assessed valuation has been changed by the state and how that's calculated, that would have moved the rate significantly higher than $3. It would have been like $3.70-$3.80. So that would have been a big number to adjust with. And we just felt like it's easier to communicate about levy and about the cost and work on it that way.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Well, and I think the thing that's important to recognize is that it's not costing the residents more money, in essence.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Great. Any other comments, Council? Thank you. If not, we'll move to the next item, which is to conduct a public hearing on and consider a feasibility report relative to a proposed project to be financed by the issuance of special assessment revenue bonds of the Eastmark Community Facility Districts Number 1, Assessment District Number 4. So I now declare the public hearing open. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any speakers?
No request, Mayor.
Thank you. Council, any comments or questions on this item?
Yeah, what's the project? Is it the tax rate thing?
No.
It's
Mike.
This the special assessment is for Chrisman Road and for Ray Road, parts of the sewage there. So it's about $1 million bond that we're going to be issuing.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. A good question. If there are no additional comments, Council, and seeing that there's no public speakers or requests for speakers, I will now declare the public hearing closed. We do have two action items on our agenda, agenda item 5A and 5B. They are connected and the subject of the presentation that we just heard. If there's no objection on the part of Council, we'll just treat them as consent agenda items and have one vote for both items. Is that okay with everyone? I'll now invite Kevin Christopher to come forward and read those items so that they are in the record. Kevin, please read 5A and 5B, please.
Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. Item 5A, approving the feasibility report relating to the acquisition and financing of certain improvements within the Eastmark Community Facilities District Number 1, declaring its intention to acquire certain public infrastructure improvements described in the feasibility report, forming a special assessment District Number 4, determining that special assessment revenue bonds will be issued to finance the cost and expenses thereof, declaring the improvements to be of more than local or ordinary public benefit, and that the cost of said improvements will be assessed upon assessment District Number 4, and ordering the public infrastructure projects be acquired and performed within the Eastmark Community Facilities District Number 1. Also, item 5B, approving the Eastmark Community Facilities District Number 1 fiscal year 2015-16 tentative budget, and setting July 1st, 2015 as a date for the public hearing and action on the final budget and the tax levy. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Ms. Mickelson, do we have any speakers that have requested to speak on items 5A or 5B?
No requests, Mayor.
Thank you. Council. Been moved and seconded for approval of 5A and 5B. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Councilmember Glover. Are there any opposed? Okay, the item passes unanimously. I would now entertain a motion to adjourn the Eastmark Community Facility District Board Number District Number 1 Board meeting. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
Thank you. We will now convene the June 15th, 2015 study session. Welcome, and I again note that Councilmember Glover is appearing telephonically. First item on the agenda is to review tonight's regular and special council meetings agendas. Upstairs, we will have a regular council meeting, and then for the purpose of adopting the budget, we will convene a special council meeting. So I think, Council, you have the agendas for both of those meetings. Currently, there is nothing off of the consent agenda for our regular council meeting. But please take a look at that and let us know if you have any questions. Items 3 are liquor license applications. Item number 4 are various purchase contracts.
I just have one quick question.
Yes, Mr. Richens.
On item 4H, do we self-insure on those accidents, the Tahoe that was totaled? We're replacing a police vehicle that was in an accident. The driver was okay, right? Anyone, please? Anyone? Anyone?
Let's ask about the...
Councilmember Richens, I can address the question regarding the insurance. We have, for our property value, or our property insurance, we cover the first $50,000. We're self-insured. Beyond that, we can make a claim. I don't know specifically on this one, but typically we do pursue insurance for property damage over $50,000. I can look into this specific item and let you know.
Okay, but we don't have coverage that just covers the vehicle.
Yeah, based on this identification here, it came out of the vehicle replacement fund, yeah. Not out of the insurance.
That's
fund.
Correct, Mayor. Councilmember Richens. We have identified for the police department there are a certain number of vehicles that are not able to be continuing into the following year, and we have put in our vehicle replacement program some funds available for those, and that's what this comes out of, is that kind of average number of vehicles that we go through.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
This isn't the first time that this happened.
Shocker.
Thank you. Any other questions related to anything on under agenda item 4, other purchase contracts? Agenda item 5, taking action on several different, three different resolutions, authorizing the city manager to enter into agreements. And agenda item 6, introducing an ordinance. And 7, receiving public comment on another ordinance. And 8 is the fiscal year audit plan. Council, any questions about those? Okay. If not, then yes, Mr.
Brady. I know we're moving really fast.
Yes.
But we thought it might be interesting if you have just a moment to hear a little bit of a presentation on 5C. Let's just talk about what we're doing here with this underground storage project. I mean, just we had a lot of talk about water and what we're doing here, so let's just kind of give a figure since we're moving pretty quickly. We might have a little time. It'd be helpful to understand this.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we'd all appreciate that. Welcome.
Welcome, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Brian Draper. I'm the Water Resources Advisor for the Water Resources Department. I'm Bill Table with the City Attorney's Office. We're here to discuss Granite Reef Underground Storage Project and the amendment of the GRUSP IGA. We prepared a slide presentation for you. Hopefully you've had all opportunity to see that. In particular, I want to draw attention to the cover page of the presentation. Thanks.
Go ahead and just talk, and then she'll catch up with you.
What you see there is GRUSP in action. We have four basins there receiving water for active recharge into the aquifer. On page two, you see an aerial depiction of the project. Outlined there, you see the seven basins. To give some perspective, you have Gilbert Road there bordering on the west. You have the Loop 202 bordering on the north side of Mesa. Of course, you have the river channel there. And just to give you some perspective of where this resides, of particular attention, we have the SRPMIC landfill, which does dictate some of the operation of the GRUSP facility during times of recharge. And Bill will maybe touch to that a little bit later on. So we threw together some bullet points that we felt were of great importance for this project. Going through those, originally the seven-party agreement was signed in February of 1993. It was the first major recharge facility in the state and one of the largest of its kind in the whole nation. In the 20 years of operation, we've recharged 1 million acre-feet of water underground. Mesa is half of that at 500,000 acre-feet. So we've definitely maximized the use of this project to our intent. Just to give you some perspective of how much water that actually is, 1 million acre-feet of water is enough to fully fill 14 Saguaro Lakes. So if you've had opportunity to go to Saguaro Lake and enjoy that reservoir. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Bill to kind of talk about some of the legal aspects.
So before we get into the, I'm sure, the exciting part, Mayor and Council, if you recall, some of us were at the governor's, or the, sorry.
SRP,
East Valley, East Valley luncheon last week. And talked about that distinction between what Arizona's done versus maybe a state further to the west of us and planning for drought and water management. And we, if you recall, there was a lot of discussion about this banking of water. And I really kind of just want to highlight, we don't have to spend a lot of time, is just to point out that Mesa's played a big role in that. And you just heard the capacity or the amount of water, underground water, that we have been able to store that is, again, if you would, a credit against drought conditions for Mesa in the future. So it's been a really great program of forethought, looking out into the future and putting in place. So, Bill, maybe you could just quickly just tell us what this amendment does. Why is this before the council today?
The amendment is, in short, to extend the operating agreement that governs the Granite Reef Project. That agreement actually had a specific provision that tied its term to the lease of the space on the reservation. And it also had a specific requirement that it be amended to extend the term. So in order to extend the term, we need to have this amendment number one. The original agreement also had a specific provision that SRP would act as agent in negotiating the lease. SRP did act in that function. They negotiated a new lease with the community for that the land that the storage project is on. And with input from the other parties, we had an opportunity to comment. And so this amendment will incorporate the new lease into the operating agreement and then extend the term through the year 2032. And that's the long and the short of it.
So great news here, good story. Mesa's being very wise about looking out for future water needs. It partners up with our neighbors to the north, our Indian community. So we have a great partnership there on a variety of fronts, but this is certainly one that sometimes kind of maybe go unnoticed about the opportunity to use their land to help provide for Mesa's water future. And then again, our strategic partnership with Salt River Project and helping make this happen. So I just, this is kind of one of those, you know, it's one of those items we pass by very quickly, but frankly, for the future of Mesa and planning, it's pretty significant. I just thought this was an opportunity to highlight that. So thanks to Bill and Brian for bringing that forward. So thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you. Very, very timely discussion. Quick question. The source of the water, is that coming from our wastewater treatment plant?
Mayor, yes, it is. It's coming from our Northwest Water Reclamation Plant at Dobson and the 202. And so there's a pipeline that runs along the 202 and then discharges into the Hennessy drain there. Mm-hmm. And I know Councilmember Fincher's had opportunity to tour the facility. And if anybody would like to do so in the future, hopefully in the fall time when it's cooler, we can definitely arrange that and have you provided a tour.
So not only does it provide for a beautiful backdrop for spring training, but it also provides for water, future water supply.
Wow. It's a twofer. All right. Thank you. Council, any questions on this presentation? Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great story. Okay. So I think we're good discussing our agenda for the regular council meeting. Any questions, Council, regarding the agenda for the special council meeting? Again, the purpose of this meeting is to adopt the budget. Just a couple of agenda items there. If there's no questions on that, then we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is approval of minutes from the May 28th and June 4th executive sessions. Is there a motion for that?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. It passes unanimously. Item 3, acknowledge receipts of minutes of boards and committees. Is there a motion for that as well?
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Council, anything you'd like to highlight?
Dennis, you want to cover National Cities for us all?
Yeah, sure. Last week, a number of the council attended the summer meetings of the National League of Cities. The steering committees were in full swing operating there. We also, the advisory council for NLC was meeting at that time, and I serve on that. And there were some very good tours that Salt Lake City had arranged for it. This is a continuation of a policy that NLC started a couple of years ago of bringing all the committees together in one place when they're having their summer board meetings. So there were some joint meetings between the various committees, and Mesa was well represented on the issues. And so I think it was a very, very productive time. We learned about some very interesting things in both the advisory council and the committees that we served on. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be, we already have some agenda items ready for staff that I'm sure will cause them to run scurrying. So that's my report.
Thank you. Thanks for, Council, thanks for your service on those committees. Any other items? Under meetings and conferences attended? Thank you. I was visiting our friends at Benedictine last week and paid a visit to our friends at the Chicago Cubs last week. And I thought were productive visits. Was able to join with the Mesa Hohokams I'm delighted to congratulate the Hohokams at every opportunity. They do a great job in our community, provide a lot of funds for our youth sports programs. So it was good to join with them and with the Cubs. And then also had a great visit. I think some of you have previously visited Benedictine. This was my first visit. That's a great partnership there. That's a great institution. Look forward to continuing to have a great relationship with them. If there is nothing else, Mr. Brady, scheduling of meetings and general information.
So, Mayor, can I just go back a little bit? Because this item that we moved over pretty quickly goes back to property taxes, and there's a public hearing tonight. So let's make sure Council is very comfortable with what we're doing. I think it shouldn't surprise me, but can I have Candace just come forward and just review that item real quickly with the Council? Because, again, in order to maintain the tax levy that we've always talked about that's been published when we went out for bonds, we do have to make a few adjustments
and what will be publicized with the rate. So, Candace, this is a schedule that we bring every year, but I just want to make sure council sees this before we go upstairs on the public hearing.
So, Mayor and Council, here with me today is Ryan Wimmer. He's a Deputy Budget Director, and I'd like him to kind of just walk through the levy and the rate and how that would be produced. The public hearing that we're having tonight is really a twofold. It's a public hearing not only on the budget itself, but also the property tax levy as well.
Good evening. Historically, there's a couple different values out there that are used for property tax. One is the secondary net assessed value, which is used for secondary property taxes, which is what the city of Mesa has. And there's also the primary value, which is used for primary property taxes, which the city of Mesa does not have. In 2012, voters approved a constitutional amendment, as we heard, which takes effect next fiscal year, that changes the way property tax is calculated. It changes the basis for valuation from the secondary or full cash value to the primary or limited property value. The only difference is that the limited is limited in how fast it can grow year over year. So because of that switch from full cash value to limited value, you can see that although values are increasing quite a bit, property values, the value being used this year versus the value that will be used next year is actually going down, is actually being reduced by the 2%, by 2%. And so in order to keep the levy, the amount that that we collect in a fiscal year flat, to keep it the same, we have to increase the rate by 2%. So you can see, since the levy is declining from 2.8 to 2.76 billion, the rate would increase from 1.1853 to 1.21, so $1.18 to $1.21, in order to keep the levy the same.
So it'll generate the same amount of tax revenues. Now, if we had, if that amendment had not been in place and we'd been using the secondary full cash value, with that 19% increase, we would actually have been recommending a rate reduction, because the value goes up, so it can compensate, and then you can lower your rate and generate the same amount of revenues. So again, we always focus on the levy, and we can't collect any more revenues than we can use to pay the debt service. That's the only thing it can be used for. So it's a pretty simple formula for us. But again, it changed that base value, and the effect, I think, as I understand it from Ryan, what the difference between the full cash value and this limited value is, it eventually will give us, we'll eventually get the benefit of those increased values. It just is spread out over a period of time. It kind of is governed a little bit more, as opposed to having these large fluctuations. Is that a way of saying that, Ryan?
Yes, the full cash value increases with the property value, but the limited value can only increase by 5% a year. So it has a dampening effect, but eventually it should catch up, unless values are really increasing more than 5% year over year.
Anyway, that'll be presented. Just want to make council aware of that. It's a 2% difference, but it is a little slight change. Again, it's only compensating for the change in the assessed valuation. Okay? Thank you.
And I know staff came by, I think visited with all the council over the last week. I think we received individual presentations on this at the staff level as well, so I think it's something we understand. Thank you very much. I think that concludes the items on our agenda. I would.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thursday, Mayor and Council will have the interviews for. We have the five candidates coming in for interviews for city attorney's position. So that's what we'll be doing on Thursday morning.
Great.
Thank you.
So we'll see you back here Thursday morning. If there's nothing else, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.